You found a podcast where you'll hear the truth, and we will praise Jesus' name. We stand for the Bible and won't back down from it, although it don't bring much fame. Some folks will like it, some will try to deny it, but God's word will always stand true. It's been tried in the fire, still good in the...
Hello, friends and faithful listeners. It's time for the Pod King Bible Study. I'm your co-host, Donald King, and I'm joined by the host of this study, Brother Donnie King. On this podcast, we study the Bible from its original languages so we can understand the Word of God more clearly. We look at current events and news in light of Scriptures, and we also examine some of the things going on within our culture from a biblical perspective. This is Friday, November the 10th, special edition number 107, Bacchus, the God Who Wrecks Homes. In our last episode, we finished John 4, and then we entered into John 5, and the storyline is full of exciting things. As we ended chapter 4, Jesus went back into Cana of Galilee, and there he met up with a nobleman. This nobleman had a servant that needed immediate help, and Jesus didn't fail to come through for them. As we entered into chapter 5, we saw a familiar scene. There was a man laid by the pool of Bethesda who was waiting for a chance to be healed of his 38-year-old infirmity. We threw in a good bit of Jewish culture along with a few word meanings, and wow, this is a powerful study, and you don't want to miss it. In today's study, we extended our study of false gods with one of the most well-known ones. Bacchus has been the subject of many a book, self-help group, and has multiple movies made about him. If he isn't known by name, he is certainly known by the sins that are associated with him. He is the party god, and his followers love drinking, partying, and having orgies in his honor. We expose how deceptive Bacchus is, and then we compare and contrast him with the Lord. There's no doubt that Bacchus had many followers, but our God is by far the greatest. Come on and listen to this study today. Now for the lesson and the teaching of God's Word, I'll turn it to the host of this podcast, Brother Donnie King.
We are so thrilled to have you along for this study today, in which we'll be covering some very vile things, but we're going to try to balance it out with the Scriptures as always.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
What are you hoping?
Well, with today's title, I sure hope we have something positive within this episode.
Yeah. Well, that's mainly a description of this false god, not a line from a country music song.
Oh, boy, and here we go. So there is actually a god who is known for wrecking homes?
There most certainly is, and this is not what he's worshipped for, but it's the end result of where people end up who do worship Bacchus.
Well, I must say that with us nearing the holidays, I thought we might cover some of the things surrounding Thanksgiving or maybe even Black Friday.
I'm sure today's topic has a lot to do with the holidays in a sense, though.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Well, with the holidays coming up, there's going to be a lot of drinking and partying, and these are some of the things Bacchus is known and worshiped for.
Well, you know, anyone foolish enough to worship alcohol or the party lifestyle should be well prepared for the fallout of their homes, marriages, and their health.
That's true. So we might as well get started so we can cover all of the territory we must cover today.
Well, I've been ready since we come on. I've been waiting on you.
Well, okay, let's wait no longer. All right, there's really about five things that Bacchus is known for, and they certainly cover a lot of territory. The first thing that Bacchus is known for is he is the god of wine and drunkenness. People desire to escape their problems and their troubles, so they end up turning to alcohol.
Well, it's definitely inherent for humans to try to avoid their problems, many of which they made for themselves.
Yeah, but this god offers them an escape route, but the escape route leads straight to the flames of hell. Bacchus will help you forget all of your heartaches, or at least until you sober up.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but then they come back with a vengeance, and then they're worse than they ever were beforehand.
Yeah, to imbibe in some alcohol seems like a little harmless thing to some people. But as with all false gods, this one demands more attention. Casual drinking normally always turns into binge drinking at parties.
You know, to just stop by the bar on the way home for one drink turns into one lie after another.
Yeah, then it's one excuse after another, and this is done in order to explain why you didn't make it home until after midnight. Bacchus really likes it when you have well drunken to get behind the wheel and then try to drive.
Well, I wasn't expecting that statement, I guess, but what do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes Bacchus receives a sacrifice this way. Remember, he's a god, and he likes to get sacrifices given unto him. Many a child has been offered up to Bacchus through an errant drunk driver. And the second thing, this god is famous for wrecking homes. Many a marriage has ended in divorce when the other spouse has finally had enough.
Our modern psychologists have termed alcoholism as a disease. If it is, it's the only disease known to be optional. No one makes you go out and buy vodka. No one forces you to drink a whole case of beer. You knowingly did that, and I call that voluntarily.
Yeah, you willingly started all of this of your own volition, and now you can't find the willpower to stop it. And I need to state right here before I say what I'm fixing to say, I'm not against AA or Alcoholics Anonymous and everything that they do. I do support the fact that they want to help people get over their drinking, but they are still limited to help only as much as the person will allow them to help.
Yeah, but the main decisions will still have to be made by the one needing help. The only true source of help for deliverance from alcohol and the control of Bacchus is Jesus.
That's right. And here's one of the problems. Bacchus appears so cool to his devotees. This is why so many young people get hooked into it. They say there's just something about the freedom to be able to go and down a cold one with the boys. They purport that there's nothing like the ability to have a good time with the guys. No one gets hurt. They're just having some clean fun.
Is it? Explain that to the wife who found out her husband got drunk and had an affair. He honestly can't remember any of the details because he was in such a drunken stupor.
That's right. And try explain that to the parents of the six-year-old who was run over by a drunk driver. Convince the husband who has to explain to his kids every night that mama's going to be late again. And you probably won't get to see her tonight, just like yesterday and the day before and just like last week. Explain how no one gets hurt to the abused wife whose husband lost all of his senses to liquor and he blacked her eye.
Yeah, explain how it's harmless to the man who has destroyed his liver by feeding it so much alcohol through the years. Try telling the man who can't remember the last 10 years because he takes hit after hit from the liquor bottle every day, all day. Tell the homeless who used to have a high-scale office job, but because of too many nights of one drink too many, he has absolutely nothing left.
I disagree with that. He does have something left. He has the shakes and a strong desire for another drink. Just one more.
Yeah.
Just one more. And when he gets that one, he only wants one more after that. It's what keeps him going back to the altar of Bacchus. Some people take a scripture that Paul used writing to Timothy, and they try to take it and say that the Bible condones the drinking of alcoholic beverages. I'm sure that you know I'm speaking of 1 Timothy 5:23, where Paul told Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach's sake and his often infirmities. I'm going to read this. I want you to listen to it closely. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, is that what that really means?
When you take the context of the whole Bible, you know, into consideration, it doesn't condone that.
No, it doesn't. And the whole counsel of God overwhelmingly warns against this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the time and I'm going to go through the scriptures. I want to show you what the Bible says. And if I could help one person, I would be thrilled. In Leviticus 10:9, he says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee." And then he tells him, "Don't go into the tabernacle of the congregation after you've drunken, lest ye die." And so this is a clear command. It's to the priesthood. We understand that. I'm not trying to change the context, but he's telling him, don't drink wine nor strong drink. In other words, don't drink a weak alcoholic beverage nor a strong one. Proverbs 20:1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're not wise if you're going out getting sloppy drunk. You're not wise if you imbibe just a little bit. Proverbs 23:29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, and who hath wounds without a cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. And then he begins to talk about it. He says, don't look upon the wine when it's red. It gives its color in the cup, it moves itself aright, but at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. He goes on, and the rest of the chapter is about this wicked sin of getting drunk and drinking to excess. Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. So in other words, if you see somebody that's ready to destroy themselves, go ahead, give them the strong drink. That's what they're going to do anyway. In other words, if you drink strong drink, you need to be ready to perish. You need to be ready for destruction. Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Dropping down to verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Did you know that a woe is a calamity, that it is something that is terrible that's going to come upon you? He said, and if you drink this, you've got something terrible that's going to come upon you. Now let's move into the New Testament. Some people say, well, the New Testament doesn't condemn it. Paul said it was okay when he was talking to Timothy. Paul wrote this, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of you were this way, but you are no longer. Why? You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He says these people, and he included drunkards, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you will not go to heaven. Galatians 5:21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, if you're getting drunk, you will not go to heaven. Ephesians 5:18-20. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's a pretty long list of scriptures to prove wrong, just to say that when Paul was talking to Timothy and he said, use a little wine for your often infirmities and your stomach's sake, I think that's really, really stretching that, and it's taking it really far out of context. I'm not saying Paul was wrong in 1 Timothy 5:23 because he was speaking medically.
Well, he wasn't telling Timothy to go out and tie one on every once in a while.
No, and just when you think you figured out how to understand the scriptures and you figured out how you can handle Bacchus, you're in his grips again. And the third thing Bacchus is known for, he's better known as the god of reckless abandon.
How does Bacchus make all this seem so appealing, even when we know the consequences? How can it be so convincing?
Well, for one, he uses peer pressure to steer people in his direction. Ah, oh, come on, just one drink? I mean, one little swallow never hurt nobody. You're a sissy if you don't drink one with us. Man, don't them neon lights look so cool?
You know, somehow it sounds so exciting to young people when they hear what their buddy did the other night when he was drunk. He did what? You've got to be kidding. That must have been hilarious.
Yeah, well, the followers of Bacchus rejoiced to hear how Lisa got lit and then lost her purity. But what's sad is no one sees Lisa as she buries her face in her hands, regretting the foolish choices she made while she was under the influence of Bacchus's spirit. No one knows how Lisa feels as she walks into the abortion clinic a couple of months later, still trying to erase that one-night escapade out of her mind and out of existence.
My goodness, now, you're getting us right down to where the rubber meets the road now, aren't you?
Well, I'm afraid we've dropped the ball too many times when we should have been much plainer, and we sugarcoated things to our families and churches, and we've gotten ourselves into the messes that we're in right now.
You know, that's the good thing about the podcasting platform. We can deal with some things here that we couldn't in an actual church service.
That's exactly right. I like the ability to be able to tackle things that you really normally can't talk about in church settings. Not that I want to be vulgar or perverse in any way, but we can talk about things because it's a limited audience. People can listen of their own accord. If they don't want to listen, they can stop. If they've got family with them, I always try to put a disclaimer in the notes and let them know, hey, you might want to make sure that, you know, this is age appropriate. You don't have young children in on this one. There's some things that they're not ready for, but they're hearing enough at school and seeing enough in the world. I figure there's very few that's not ready to hear a little bit of this.
That's right.
Bacchus won't stop until he slipped a bottle in your hand. After a while, he doesn't have to bring you a beer. You got your own now.
After a failed marriage and children who despise you, along with the inability to hold down a job anymore, most people tend to hit the harder liquors.
That's right. They might start with something light, but they go much, much stronger. And it delights Bacchus so much to see how depressed you become. He thinks that maybe one day you would offer him the ultimate sacrifice by committing suicide.
Well, before that, most people would first try drinking their existence away.
Yeah, they'll try to live in an imaginary world of escapism.
Well, you can no longer bear the thought of having to face reality, so you just decide to sleep it off. Some go so far, they desire to go into that long sleep where there is no pain.
Yeah, Bacchus tells you that there's no pain in death. There's no trouble. There's no more hangovers. There's no more nagging wives, no more crying children, no more upset bosses. This is the best way out. Only to realize after it's too late, you jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire of hell.
I'd like to tell you, hell is a lot worse than any problem that could have ever led you into drinking.
That's right, but Bacchus didn't tell you that.
No, because he has driven many a soul into the flames of hell. He has sent numerous souls to death without God, wrecking millions of homes.
Yeah, he's run over many young children, hit many good citizens head on, devastated untold livers, ruined many healthy lives. He's inebriated thousands until they did the things and acted in ways that they never would have done before. The next billboard Bacchus points out to you will have a frothy mug full of beautiful golden liquid with a few suds running down the side. But ask him to show you the other side of the story.
Yeah, and get him to remind you of the wife who pleaded with her husband not to go back to the club again tonight, or she was leaving, or the little girl who was so thrilled to see Daddy finally come home. So she ran out to meet him, but he slapped her in the face, busted her lip, and crushed her little heart.
That's right. Tell Bacchus to take you to the hospital and let you see the bodies that have been emaciated by the lack of a healthy functioning liver. Go on down into the ER and watch the young couple who were looking forward to going on vacation tomorrow, but now they won't be going anywhere for a long time thanks to a drunken driver. Get Bacchus to take you down to the funeral parlor so you can see a family mourning over the loss of their only child, that child they lost to a drunk driver. Listen closely as the wails and the sobs fill the air.
Does the billboard look as good now? Does Bacchus ever show anybody this side of the story?
No, not until it's too late. I know this may seem like it's pretty heavy, but I want to tell you, this God has wrecked more lives than anybody else. The God that wrecks homes because he literally tears homes apart through infidelities, through drinking, through drugs, and through death. The next thing that I want to look at about Bacchus, what he was worshipped for, is ecstasy.
What do you mean by ecstasy?
Ecstasy is described as an intense feeling. You remember that song from years ago, "I'm Hooked on a Feeling"? Well, ecstasy describes that. It's a loss of self-control. It's intense pleasure that's caused by booze, sex, or drugs. It's to be dominated by emotions until all of your self-control and even sometimes your consciousness is lost. The literal interpretation of ecstasy is to drive somebody out of their mind.
Wow, what a fitting word for such an awful thing.
Well, the saying, "you must be out of your mind," may have even come from such situations.
How many young folks have thrown their lives to the wind for the feeling of ecstasy? Some would give everything up just to have intense pleasure and good feelings.
Do you realize that the drug problem has escalated so until millions of people are operating under the influence of deep psychological and spiritual disturbances? While in the frenzied haze of these powerful drugs, they lose full rein of all of their actions until their self-control is totally gone.
Yeah, there's dangers in drug use and abuse. Some are very self-evident, but others are deeply hidden.
One of the side effects of drug use is hallucinations, and these people are literally losing thousands of brain cells by the drugs that are burning them out.
Well, this causes the users, they lose control of their actions because it's no longer them who controls their own minds. They say after this, they begin the search for that original high.
Yeah, but they'll never find the ecstasy of that first high. So they begin to take drugs more often, and then they take them in larger doses until one day, in search of the ultimate high, they overdose. Many drug addicts I've talked to through the years have explained their situation by saying, I just can't help myself. I can't help myself. You know what that means? They've lost all self-control.
In other words, they're slowly but surely being driven out of their minds.
Yeah, and do you know where this leads to?
Go on and tell us.
This leads to devil possession.
Wow.
The adversary possesses people by taking the reins over from them. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He takes them captive at his will because they no longer have the willpower to say no. They have lost all self-control at that point.
Is this only a problem with illegal drug users? This isn't an easy topic to broach, but we're seeing more and more abuse from legal drugs today, even among the elderly.
Let me put it this way. Anytime you're hooked on drugs, it's not right.
How could it be wrong? I guess what I'm asking is this. How far can one go before it becomes sin?
Let me take you back to what Paul listed in the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. Now, we already looked at 5:21 where it said drunkenness was included and they who do such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, in Galatians 5:20 says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. None of these words are very savory, but witchcraft is the one that I'm looking for right now. If you don't believe me, please take the time, go to a Strong's Concordance, go to a Thayer's Word Book, and look this up and see if I'm not telling you the truth. The word witchcraft means sorcery, magic, a potion, or drugs. It comes from two Greek words, pharmakeis and pharmakon. I hope you notice pharma in both of them, from which we get our household name, pharmacy. It literally translates as medication, and it also means to be put under a spell. How many drugs are legalized now just in order to numb our minds of pain?
When you state it that way, the reasoning for illegal drugs isn't very far from the legalized reasoning, is it?
No. When a patient is looking for something to take away his physical pain, the drug addict is looking for something to take away his psychological or physical pain as well. And sometimes it's spiritual pain. Because they feel that missing part within their hearts, that within their soul that longs for God, and they're trying to fill that void. Many legal drugs, over-the-counter types, induce drowsiness, while others that are more potent cause temporary loss of self-control.
Several pain-killing drugs are highly sought after on the streets. You know, when you talk about Oxycontin, Valiums, or morphine, someone wouldn't know whether the conversation was between a pharmacist and doctor or between a buyer and a seller on the street.
That's exactly right. And that's the same drugs that they're wanting. For the elderly man with back trouble, Oxycontin spells relief. But for the 23-year-old looking for ecstasy, it spells a loss of self-control and an opening up into the devil. I realize some people may feel that I'm overstepping my boundaries in these comparisons, and I'll be the first to admit, I have absolutely no medical training. I'm not telling you that you can and that you can't take them. But what I am telling you, I may not be an experienced doctor or pharmacist, but Bacchus isn't either.
Bacchus knows what to prescribe to get you hooked, to keep you coming back.
Yeah, well, if you become dependent on any drug, whether it's legal or illegal, you really need deliverance.
Well, this problem is more rampant than many people would want to admit. If you have to have a drug to get you going and then one to slow you down, well, something's wrong with your situation.
That's right. Somewhere along the way, they've gotten tied up with the wrong source of strength and rest. The joy of the Lord is our strength, according to Nehemiah 8:10. And the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 through the whole chapter 4 tells us that Jesus is our rest. If you're really looking for rest and you're looking for joy, you don't have to look to a pill bottle. You don't have to look to a medicine bottle. You can look to Jesus for that. Now, am I telling you if you got a headache and you've prayed and the Lord hasn't touched it and you need some relief? I'm not telling you don't take a pill. I'm not saying don't take an aspirin or ibuprofen. But what I am telling you is that if you're taking strong drugs and you really, really find yourself dependent upon them, you're no better than the man hooked on illegal drugs. In the search for ecstasy that Bacchus offers, pure young ladies become teenage hookers just for another fix. Young men see their strength and their youthfulness stripped from them after being hooked on the feelings that Bacchus offers them.
Hey, how many people have you run into that look 50, 55, to later find out that they were barely in their 30s?
More than I'd like to admit. I've seen people before I thought they got to be pushing 60 and find out I'm 32.
Yeah.
Because of what drugs has done to their life. To the person that's in their right mind, think about this. The thought of shooting ether into their veins or boiling down anhydrous ammonia and smoking it, that's ridiculous. But to the person who's already been driven out of their mind, Bacchus is now doing the thinking for them.
Well, Satan has taken them captive, you know, at his will, and they have no power to resist with.
No. Well, let's take Legion for an example. He was possessed by many devils, and he was also known as a maniac. No man could tame him. His description sounds similar to that of drug users who seem to have superhuman strength while they're under the influence of drugs. Have you ever thought of it that way?
Well, no, but, you know, that may be so, but when Jesus came, by the way, things began to change. Jesus cast the unclean spirits out, and they made a huge difference in his life.
That's right, but think about this. When the townspeople came out to see what was going on, they found the one who was named Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in what?
In his right mind.
He was no longer driven out of his mind.
Well, Satan had lost his grip on this one he had possessed for so long.
That's right. Legion had been given temperance, which is self-control. Read that account in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, or Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. I still love that story. This is the problem, though, that I have seen with legalized drugs. We all understand illegal drugs that take those who use them and wreck their lives. It ultimately opens up avenues for them to be completely taken over by the devil, leading them into devil possession. When you don't have the full operation of your mental faculties, the devil will play on that weakness. Many nursing homes that have truly no care nor concern for their patients drug them up on higher dosages so they won't have to put up with them. This has the same effect that illegal drugs has.
The poor elderly people have no recourse but to take the medication given to them and then are out of their mind until the drugs wear off. While in this state, Satan comes into them and he begins to take them captive at his will.
Yeah, well, they have no power to fight him off, being under the influence of an induced drug. This is why so many of these places are so taxing on ministers to work in them.
Some of the residents act in some of the ways that they do only because they're in the act of being taken over.
That's right. Paul knew that anything that has a use, there can be an abuse for it. Abuse is the blending of two words, abnormal use. There are uses for medication, but to use them abnormally is to abuse them. Bacchus doesn't like for things to be used correctly. He prefers for minds to leave their original estate. Whether by seeking ecstasy or just by becoming hooked on prescription meds or by an elderly person forgetting they already took their pills for the day and now they're retaking them again and again and again.
Yeah, I've seen that happen firsthand with my dad. He would take his medicine first thing of a morning and then forget that he had taken it. And then he'd take it again. He was simply living in a fog. We finally figured out what was happening when he tried to take them a third time one day.
Yeah, well, Bacchus revels in the worship that he receives from the person who has no idea where he is, how he got there, and what's truly happening. He really likes people who willingly abuse his pleasures.
You know what I feel is terrible is that some holiness people can't see this issue as a problem. How can we be so out of touch with the real world? How could a free-born child of God see no wrong in being hooked to things that alter their minds?
Well, who is so blind to see that this is exactly the plan of the devil with all of our lives? He'd like for all of us to lose our mind and not serve God or think on the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us in Isaiah 26 and 3 that the Lord will keep those whose mind is stayed on him in perfect peace. How can you keep your mind stayed on the Lord when all the while it's being altered by mind-numbing drugs? When your mind fails to be stayed on the Lord, you found the opposite of peace. Normally, you find torment. In advance, I'm going to warn you that the subject matter I'm about to go in may not be approved of by some listeners. And you may be saying, well, I already don't like what you're dealing with. But regardless, it's fixing to get a little more plain. And so here's your warning for this study. We're fixing to tackle a part of Bacchus that if you're listening with young children or teens, you may want to monitor this for a few minutes. Mind you, we're not going to be talking filthy. We're not going to be talking vulgar.
No, but there's just some things that young folks just don't need to hear talked about.
That's right. And I'm not tackling this subject with pleasure nor from an impure mind. This is a real problem in our day, and I personally know 7 or 8 holiness people myself who have been delivered from this lifestyle, and a few more that have fallen into this lifestyle I'm fixing to be talking about while going to church. One of the most abusive pleasures that Bacchus offers is orgies. As a matter of fact, Bacchus has long been known and worshipped for his drunken parties that became better known as orgies.
Hey, I hope you're not going to define this word like you normally do.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am, but I'm going to offer a more vague definition. An orgy is unrestrained activity in a relationship. It can speak of excessive eating and drinking, and it speaks of overindulgence in something. And I think most of our mature listeners will know what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, that was much better than what I was thinking.
Yeah, well, we have 3 words that stem from orgy: revelry, carousing, and debauchery. These 3 filthy words pack a punch in their meaning. It means noisy celebrations, to paint the town red, to get drunk, to be persuaded to act immorally, and to seduce someone into a relationship.
You know, an orgy could also be defined as unrestrained immoral behavior.
That's right, and that's a good one. I like that. It's historical fact that Bacchus was worshipped by dancing, drinking, singing, and later it led to wife swapping, and then it went to even more unmentionable sexual perversions. Orgies were celebrated by wearing provocative attire.
You know, it's a shame that things have come to this in the day and age we live in.
Well, that's true, but this has been around for a mighty long time because it was very common to worship after this manner way back in the Bible days.
You mean to tell me that there are people who literally worship this stuff?
Yes, combining temple prostitution with the wild, frenzied, and frantic sexual orgies, it's an apt description of how the heathen worshiped the false gods many years ago. People who follow this kind of lifestyle will worship in that manner. They blend debauchery into their culture, dancing with other people's spouses.
So to live a style of life that celebrates drunkenness, drugs, and immoral dancing is to serve the god of orgies? Bacchus?
That's right. Many people fail to see any harm in letting their children learn to love the party life. They send them off for parties without escorts, and they send them out with other teenagers with no chaperone, or sometimes they send them out with teenagers as the chaperone. Now, let me ask you, you think my best friend's going to tell on me if I do something I shouldn't? Not a chance.
But you know, it's in an environment just like this that many youth have tasted the first sip of alcohol, lit their first cigarette, smoked their first bit of marijuana, and lost their purity.
Yeah, and I want to speak to our audience right here. Does anything seem wrong about that to you? Does that seem normal? Is that right in any way in your mind? If you believe that all of that is just the way life is, Bacchus has closed your eyes and blinded you to the facts of life.
If everyone in this country chose to live for pleasure and follow the pursuit of happiness, there'd be disastrous consequences. You know, we already suffer for so many who shirk their duties, obligations, commitments, and responsibilities. Could you imagine what it'd be like if all of us just chose to have fun?
Well, it would result in a collapse, because that's exactly what happened to the Roman Empire. And while we're speaking about Rome, allow me to throw Greece in here with this statement that I'm fixing to make. Why were these 2 nations known for such sinful behavior and outlandish debauchery?
Well, because they served other gods and goddesses, right?
That's right. These 2 nations were known for their mythology. The 2 most prominent mythologies that are known are Roman mythology and Greek mythology. Are you starting to see the connections here? The Romans and the Greeks worshiped their gods by doing what they were known for.
What you're saying is then that they were acting like their gods?
That's right. So what do we do as Christians?
We act like our God and try to be Christ-like.
That's right. So the worldviews that we're talking about serving another God are similar, but we're talking about different deities. Therefore, we have different styles of worship because our God is different from their gods.
Yeah, but the only source of fulfillment and happiness in this world is found in Jesus Christ. It isn't wrong to worship the God who gives us happiness, fun, food, and drink.
No, that's right. But it is idolatrous to worship happiness, fun, and eating and drinking as a god. It's like the difference between living to eat rather than eating to live.
If you live to have fun, then you're a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. In fact, your God is the God of pleasure, and we know his name, Bacchus.
That's right. Bacchus makes his adherents drug addicts, drunks, gluttons, and perverts, just to name a few things. Jesus makes his followers like him, holy, honest, faithful, truthful, and we could go on. But I'm certainly thankful that there's a big difference between the God Bacchus and Jesus Christ.
Allow me to lay down the verdict. All right. Bacchus destroys lives. Jesus gives us new life because he is life.
Amen. I agree 100%. That's well said. I think that we all can see by the things that we covered today. I know it wasn't a very uplifting episode, maybe, but I hope that we open somebody's eyes to realize that the God that is named Bacchus is destroying lives and he wants to wreck your family. Don't give him the opportunity.
Friends, I do hope you really listen to this and really take it to heart and realize that there's a whole lot more of this going on, and we need a whole lot more of Jesus. Remember, friends, if you have a Bible question or a question regarding how news or current events or things going on in our culture are connected to Scripture, drop us an email at dkministries1977@yahoo.com. That's dkministries1977@yahoo.com. We hope you've enjoyed this episode today, sharing God's word. But until next time, may God bless you all.
Be sure and come back next Monday, November the 13th, for episode number 142, Deity Visits a Pool.
But for me, this I know, will it change my heart all around? Put my feet back on the ground, God alone. Now for heaven I want to go, I want to go. I want to go to that land where the milk and honey flow. Oh, I've heard of such a place. I can't go there by God's grace. Never seen it, but I know I want to go.